Father, in Jesus' name, we do come to you, and we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given to us. We rejoice in this day, Father. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, for mothering us, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for being a good father to us, a good mother to us, everything to us. And Father, I thank you for this word that you have given to me, and now it will be delivered to your people. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, by way of your Holy Spirit, to help me to deliver this message with clarity. And I ask that you speak to the hearts of everyone that's here in Jesus' name. And we will always give you the glory for all the things that you're doing in our lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Everyone said a big amen. Go ahead and be seated. The message today is entitled, "The Devil Does Not Like You." So I want everybody to do this. Say, so what? Well, the devil does not like you. He does not like me. So what are we going to do about it? That's the message today. And I thought about this, and I really thought about the teaching that our founding pastor taught. How many of you received that? What's the use? Yeah, I wrote a couple of notes down. And he said this in that message. He said, we need to learn how to deal with failures and just life in general. And then he said something, and I said, oh, gosh, we're on one accord. He said, get the enemy, or speaking of the devil, Satan, on his own concerns. Remind him of his future when he's messing with you. And then he said also that people that are close to you are affecting your faith, either good or bad. And then our son, he preached a message last week and was called Kings of Hearts. And he said something that really stood out to me, because the enemy, that's what he wants to do to us. He wants our heart to be hard towards God, towards people, towards ourselves. And he said, last Sunday, he said, a hard heart will produce a hard life. Isn't that true? And then I wrote this down, it just came in my heart, that Satan loves that. He really loves making havoc over our lives, and he really loves seeing us struggle, and he really loves seeing us in pain, and he really loves us to walk in unforgiveness and in bitterness and with a hard heart. He wants us to have it rough, and I remember my husband preached this many years ago, rough, hard, and mad. He wants us to be like that, and he wants us to fail. And I know we could say, yeah, so what? But we have to do something about this. And he really wants, ultimately, he wants our faith in God to fail. He wants us to stop trusting the Lord. And the devil, I put, the devil is not here to help us to succeed in life. So he's an enemy to us. And today I just want to just talk a little bit about that, so I can paint a picture of how much the devil doesn't like us. And then we're going to talk very quickly about what we can do about it. Is that okay? So in the book of Revelations, let me just show you this in the book of Revelation, if you can just turn there real quick and just establish this. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, and I'm going to read this very quickly. Where's my reading glasses? There you go. And verse number, I'm going to skip around because of the time as well, so I won't read the whole thing. But we're going to go 7:11 to 17. And it said, a war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. That's speaking of the enemy or Satan or the devil. And the dragon and his angels fought. Now think about a fight going on in heaven. But they did not prevail. Speaking of the enemy, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. You see that? Who deceives the whole world. He was cast to this earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I always like to ask people, I said, where are we on earth? So this is Revelation 12, verse 7. And so the enemy, the devil, is on earth. Okay, and I just read verse number 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil. And then in verse number 11, and they overcame him, speaking of us, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And then it says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens who dwell, verse number 12, in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down. Now, this is not going to be a gloomy message, but we'll get there of where God wants to the point he was trying to bring across. The devil has come down to you. Say, not me. He's come down to you, having great wrath. So he's angry. He's hard. He's mad because he knows that he has a short time. And then it talks about how the verse number 17, and the dragon, or speaking of the enemy, the devil, was enraged with the woman. And many theologians believe it's talking about Mary, when she was conceived with Jesus, and how they had to flee Egypt and different places of just getting away from people that wanted to kill Jesus. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, that's us, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we have an enemy, and is not your uncle. It's not your boss, but we have an enemy that's against us. And the Bible says we are not to be ignorant of his devices or his plans. And at first, you can just write these scriptures down. 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says that. And then in Ephesians 4:18, it says, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or the unbelievers, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's what God has for us, a new life. And I remember growing up as a Baptist little girl, I remember the old saints. You know, they had their beautiful hats on and their outfits on. And I remember we had what was called a testimony service, and people would stand up and testify. And I remember the old saints used to always say this. This is something I remember as a young person. They would say it, and they would say it with fire. The devil is a liar. And I can remember that, and it's just, you know, it's just stuck with me. And I didn't really know what they were really saying. You know, I didn't know anything about that. But I just know that they said it with passion, and they would say, the devil is a liar. And as I grew up and became a follower of a Christ, not just born again, I started following Jesus Christ and his word, I realized, I got the revelation of what they were saying, that he's a liar. And so we have to understand that we're in this battle. So there are some basic things that we shouldn't be ignorant about. So number one, Satan cares nothing about your gender. This is Mother's Day, and I want you guys to listen up, and the men. So if you are a man or a woman, and a woman with heels, taking care of your hair, taking care of your nails, Satan doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care about your age. He doesn't care about your race. The same enemy that's in Washington State is in Hawaii. He doesn't care about us. He hates us. So what? But what are we going to do about it? And I want to just make this a mental note for you and put in your heart. Women must also, like men, must fight the good fight of faith. So women, I just wanted you to know that. Just because you're a woman, like I said, you're pretty, you take care of yourself. We're still in the same battle that the men are in. Because the enemy doesn't care about our age. He doesn't care about our gender. He doesn't care about our race. He's still the enemy. And men, you need to remember this, that the women in your life, they're in the same fight as you. They take care, think about it, they can't take care of their kids. Many work outside of the home, but yet these women are still on a spiritual battle, in a spiritual battle. The Bible says that the women are weaker vessels, but it wasn't speaking of physical weakness. I mean, spiritual weakness. It's just speaking of physical weakness. So we're weaker physically, but not spiritually. And women must be strong in the Lord, just like men, and in the power of his might. Because once again, the enemy doesn't care of you being a woman. He doesn't care about genders, and there's two. And seeing that's, and I'll have to insert this. But see, that's what he's good at, as lying. And he has deceived so many people in our country and lying to so many people. And he's confused so many people. And that's what Satan wants to do. He even wants to confuse the church. And some churches have embraced lies and deception from the devil. And we have to rise up and say no more and follow the word of God. Amen? Think about it. The first words from the enemy was to sow doubt in Eve's heart. God created Adam and Eve. And the first thing he did was sow some doubt by questioning what God said. And that's what we have to be careful of. People questioning what God says. Because people are affecting your faith, good or bad. No matter if it's on a television set, you're watching news, something is affecting your faith in a positive way or a negative way. So we need to be vigilant. Even women. You know, some men, I've heard this before, they say, oh, I like a good fight. I don't like to fight. You know, most women don't. I mean, we want to just be dainty and smile and wear our lipsticks and, you know, pamper ourselves. We don't want to fight. Well, we have to fight. We're in a battle as long as we're in this earth because we have an enemy that's against us and is against our family. And it's going to take women to rise up and pray and intercede for our family members. I remember when my daughter, Danae, can I talk about you, Danae? She was coming in a little later than her curfew time. And my husband was up and said, where is she, where is she, where is she? And I was, after a while, I was saying the same thing, where is she, where is she, where is she? And then when she came home past the curfew time, we said, Danae, you can't do this. This is the time you're supposed to be home. And then she'd go out and do it again. And as she got caught up with some friends from high school that she didn't even like in high school. And then she started hanging out with them, and, you know, they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And then I remember I start praying about it. Women, I'm telling you, we could reach God. We know how to pray some prayers. And so I start praying, and then my husband said, Kathy, where is she? I'm so concerned. And I said, I'm going to bed. I am not concerned. I'm going to cast that care off to the Lord so you can stay up all night and worry about her, but I'm going to sleep. And so women, we know how to pray some powerful prayers, and God loves us, and he hears us when we pray. Amen? And so anyway, so God turned her life around. She stopped hanging out with them, and look at her beautiful family. This is before, and she's a wonderful, wonderful mother. She is a wonderful mother. She talks about me, but she took it to another level. She really did. So I'm just so proud of her, and I thank God for her. So what are we going to do? So here's number two. That was number one, really. First one is Satan cares nothing about your gender and about your age and all that. And then number two, Satan only comes in order to steal, which means to take something away from you. So you should ask yourself, the people that you're around, is something missing? Is your joy missing when you get around certain people? And it's not them, it's the enemy that influences people. People are never really your problem. People are not your problem. It's the enemy that's your problem. And he tries to influence people that are closer to you. And so, is something missing? I mean, sometimes our confidence is missing after we're around certain people. Once again, it's not them. It's the enemy's trying to get to you. Sometimes our peace is missing. Sometimes our faith in God is missing. We'll get around people, and sometimes they'll say, can God really do all that? And then you start questioning God. You start questioning his word. And so you start questioning your trust in him. So Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we just need to know that, because the Bible says we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. So women, if he's trying to mess with your family, if it's a lot of confusion going on, that's the enemy. If there's some discord, even with some of your children, even if they're adult children, that's the enemy. He wants to destroy that relationship. He wants to take it away. He wants to steal it from you because he's trying to get to you. Number three, he wants to sift you as wheat. We heard that not too long ago with Pastor Shorter preaching, which is a metaphor for being taken apart. He wants to rip your faith from God. He wants to separate you from God, your Father, and Jesus, your Lord, and the Holy Spirit, your helper and comforter. The enemy wants to ruin you. In Luke 22, 31, 32, just write it down. Actually, ultimately, the enemy doesn't want you to go to heaven. He's not a friend of ours. He's an enemy of ours. God said he wants us to have peace. He said, and we got the scripture back here, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, the word that's working in us. God, Jesus said this in the book of John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and it more abundantly. So what are you going to do about it? The Bible says we are to give no place to the devil, which means leave no room or foothold for the devil. Give him no opportunity. And that's in Ephesians 4:27. So these are four things I want to leave with you. I want to give to you. Four things you must do. Number one, you must be born again. I don't know how you women try to be in this battle, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. Even if you're not born again, you're still in a spiritual battle. In fact, the Bible says, and this is a hard saying, that the enemy becomes your father. He's your father. And I don't know why you would stay on that side, the dark side of things. How in the world can you live in this world and all the help that you need, and you're trying to do it all by yourself, and that's why you're stressed out? That's why some people have ulcers. And I had it at 18. Did you know that? I was sick at the age of 18 years old. I had so much medicine I was taking. Because when I found out I was adopted at the age of 18, it messed my head up. You know why? Because I didn't hear all this. I didn't know that I have the victory through Jesus Christ. I didn't even know I had an enemy, that the devil was an enemy of mine. So I blamed God. I said, God, why would you do this to me? At the age of 18, and I didn't find out about my adoption by my adopted parents. It was a cousin that didn't like me. And she came up to me one day, and she said, well, you're not my real cousin anyhow. You're adopted. And I didn't know what she was talking about. So I went back home. I was in Fresno, California at the time, and I went back to Richmond. And I confronted my parents, and my mom pulled out a picture of my biological mom. She said, this is the only picture I have of her. She said, and by the way, your name is not really Kathy, but this is your birth name, and we changed your name. And I was so confused. I got so mad at God, and I was born again at the age of 14 years old. But I didn't know the devil was the one that comes stealing. Sometimes we just sit and we get mad at people, and we shouldn't really get mad at people. We need to get mad at the devil. Put your anger on him and not on people, because it's really not them. It's the devil working through people, maybe. But it's really the devil that's trying to mess up your head, trying to mess up your day, and really ultimately trying to mess up your life. And so I didn't know, and I got mad at God, and I said, God, is this what this is all about? Well, then I don't want to serve you. I don't want to be a part of this. All these lies that these people told. So who knows how to tell the truth? And so I thought everyone was just a liar. And I remember calling my husband. He was my boyfriend at the time, and I was trying to explain all this to him. Here I'm in California. He's still in Washington State because my father had retired. So we moved back to California, the Bay Area, Richmond. And I called him up, and I was trying to tell him all this. And I just hung up the phone on him. I said, well, you don't understand me either. And then the church I was going to, they didn't know how to help me out. They just thought I wasn't being spiritual enough. And I was trying to cry out and tell them, hey, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. Rescue me. Help me. And no one was there. And so for a period of time, I just felt like my life was just a waste of time. But thank God for his mercy. When we're stupid and foolish, when we're yet in our sins, Jesus died for us. Thank God for his mercy. So it's a miracle that I'm even here, and I thank God for it. Amen. And like my son said, you don't know the whole story. Some people can't handle my whole story, but God knows. Amen. So you must be born again. You could be the nicest person in town, but you must be, Jesus said, born again. Your sins being paid by the blood of Jesus, but you must receive and invite Jesus into your heart, this gospel message. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him, speaking of Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. If not, if you're not saved, you're not born again, then the Bible says in John 8:44 that the Father, your Father, is the devil. That's a hard saying. I don't even like saying it. But he's controlling your life. He's influencing you. But you can change that even right now. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then Father God become your Father, and He knows how to take care of you. Say a big amen. Amen. Number two, we must put off the old man. See, these are things that we must do. Remember, the message is the devil does not like us. So what are we going to do about it? Number one, we need to be born again. Number two, we need to put off the old man. The Bible says the old man. So women, it says the old man, okay? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this is a deeper relationship with God, obeying every word, the Bible says, that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus said that when he was tempted in the wilderness with the devil, that we are to obey all the word of God. So there's a commitment to this new relationship with Jesus. And since we don't have the time, I wanted to go to Ephesians 4:23, but I am encouraging every one of you to read chapter 4 in Ephesians, the whole chapter, because it will clarify, it will clear up the way you're thinking, it will show you exactly the things you need to do to have this deeper relationship with the Lord. It talks about unforgiveness and forgiving people and crucifying the old man, putting off the old man. We have to put off anger. We have to do it. The Holy Spirit's here to help us, but we have to do it. I was so angry. I was an angry person, and I had to put off this anger and this hurt. I chose to do it. And some of us are still blaming our parents, our mother, or she didn't raise me right. Well, now start something new, okay? Stop blaming your mom now, because it really wasn't your mom. It was the enemy that was influencing your mother. So now it's time to get over it and stop blaming people and start putting the blame on the devil, because he was just trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. Like the enemy tried to destroy me. I was just a confused person. And the enemy tried to destroy me. But thank God we're here today. And he had his best shot, the devil, in your life. And he lost. And you're in God's house. So God loves you, amen? Praise God. So we need to put off anger. We need to put off unforgiveness. We need to walk in love. So we need to put off these things. Number three, we must continually give thanks. In Ephesians 4:20, talks about that again. Read the whole chapter, please. The children of Israel couldn't go into the promised land. Think about it, because they were unthankful. Thanksgiving is a type of prayer. All they did was complain about this. I don't have this. I don't have that. Some people are not married today because they just complained about their spouse. And they didn't know they had the best spouse. The spouse was just learning still. My husband used to tell me that. He'll make mistakes. He'll do something. He said, Kathy, I've never done this before. I'm still learning. And so it wasn't too long ago he tried to pull that one on me. I said, buddy, we've been married for 51 years now. You should have learned by now. You can't say the same thing no more. But we should be thankful for our spouse. I remember my husband was going through that sickness. He got so depressed. Some of you don't even know the story yet. But he just been back since November of 2024. For 2 years, he didn't come to this church. He couldn't preach. He couldn't concentrate. They put something in his arm that just wasn't good for him. He got so depressed. Only God knows the story, but he's writing a book, From Hell to Heaven in Almost 7 Years. And it's good. I'm starting to read it already, some of the what he's written so far. And people just don't know my side of the story. But it'll be in the book, a little bit of it. But thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. He's wonderful. So number four, we need to give thanks. And that's what I start doing when my husband start making a little bit of progress. I said, thank you, Jesus. I take that. Because he wouldn't go anywhere. He wouldn't drive. He sure wasn't flying the airplanes anymore. Wasn't preaching. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. He'd make one little progress. And I start praising God for it. He wanted to give me a kiss again. And I said, thank you, Lord, for that kiss. So we are to be thankful because Thanksgiving is a powerful tool. Amen? Number four, you must know who you are in Christ and what you can do, your authority, and you must say what God says about you. We can't allow ourselves to just say anything that we think. There was a time where, during that time of standing in faith for my husband, there were some times that I thought, this mind said, is he going to ever get out of this? But I never would let those words come out of my mouth. And I just thank God for the little progress he was making. And look at him today. Praise God. He's on another level, I tell you. I thank God for his miracle. So you shouldn't say just anything that you think. You shouldn't let it come out of your mouth. Unless it's the word of God. And he's given us power to bind it loose. Say a big amen. I can't go through this. Let me give you these things, okay? So stand up because we're going to make a confession. Because the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And we must know our authority that God has given to us. And he's given us his word. So I want us to make these declarations. And this is the last thing and then we'll close this session. Say, I am a brand new person inside. I am not the same. Because the Bible says in Revelation, that chapter we were reading about Satan was kicked out of heaven. The Bible says that Satan will accuse the brethren day and night. He's always criticizing us. So we have to know who we are. Say, I'm not the same. Sometimes family members want to bring us back to the past. But you're not the same. You're washed by the blood of Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ. And so you have to remind the devil of that sometimes. And you have to remind people that I say, I'm not the same. I have a new life with Jesus. Say, I am a representative for Christ. Say, God is using me on this earth to bring the gospel and the good news to other people. So you're somebody in Christ. Say, I am the light of the world. I will not hide my light, but let it shine for all to see my good works so God can get the glory. We have to know who we are and authority that we have in Jesus. Amen. Say, I am victorious. Say, I am victorious. And even in the midst of trials, temptations, and testings, you have to stand strong against the enemy sometimes. You have to say, I am victorious. I'm not a loser. I will not give up, cave in, and quit. I will keep going because my Lord is with me. Say, I am victorious because God gives me the victory through my Lord, Jesus Christ. Come on, say it with your heart. Say, I am the head and not the tail. Say, I am. Come on, women, this is for you too. See, it seems sort of masculine, right? But women, we need to say this. Say, I am the head and not the tail. Say, I am above only and not beneath because I obey God's word. I'm on top and I'm rising. Say, I have the peace of God that's working in my life. When you feel confused, don't say, I'm so confused. I corrected a lady. I don't think she was a Christian, but I couldn't help it. She was saying, "I'm just so stupid today. Things are just not going right." And I said, "Please, ma'am, don't say that over your life. Don't speak those kind of things." See, that's the enemy. That's what he wants you to believe. Say, "I have the peace of God that's working in my life." Say, "I have the mind of Christ." Say, "I have power, love, and a sound mind." Now, men, I want you to say this. This is a scripture in Galatians 4:7. Say, "I am no longer a slave, but God's own son." Now, women, let's beat them, okay? Let's do it like we mean it, okay? Come on, women, we're soldiers too. So let's show off. And let's say it from our spirit, man, woman, spirit man, okay? I want you to say this. Say, "I am." Come on, ladies. Say, "I am." We can do better than that. Say, I am no longer a slave, but God's own daughter. And since I am his daughter, everything God has belongs to me. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank God for his presence. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you love us so much, Father. In Jesus' name.